Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 12. Please take your bulletins and turn to the front cover of the bulletin today. I'd like you to consider today something of a toolkit. It won't be so much preaching. There might be a little bit of preaching in here, but it's going to be a toolkit for parents of primary age children, and something that you can take away with you, and something that I hope that you would use today at home. Parents. So we've been doing a series down through the years on our home, and the title of this morning's message is Primary Age Issues. We're looking at primary age children today. When we come back to we'll be doing some more on home next week, but when we come back to it, probably next year now, we'll be looking at teens. And someone said, oh, I'm looking forward to that one. Well, this one today is on children. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, we pray that it would be a great help to us, a tool to help us discern how to bring up our children to follow and be like the Lord Jesus Christ, entirely like him. Oh Lord, we have joyed in singing the hymns today, hymns and songs of praise to you. Lord, if we lived half of them, we'd be better off. Oh Lord, help us to live what we sing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, suppose you were a parent, and decided to send your smaller child to school. You've taken time through the toddler and the preschool years to bring them to a point where they understand that they're a person under authority. You have been diligent in the instruction of the Lord, and you've been diligent in the discipline of the Lord, and you've brought them to first-time obedience. Well, pretty much. That's going to continue during the primary years as well, but substantially they're at that point. You have taught your child about God, explained the gospel to them, and they have, by God's grace, trusted Christ as Savior. So here they are, 5 years old, ready to embark on a new stage in life. Even so, they may be quite unprepared for school. Though you may have bought all the exercise books and the pencils that they need, they will still be unprepared. They will spend the school day, you see, without you as mum and dad. You will not be there to tell them what to do. Yes, they have learnt to obey during the toddler years, but what are they going to do on the bus when some kid pulls their ear? Or what are they going to do when the teacher puts on some video that they know that they wouldn't be allowed to watch at home? What are they going to do at playtime when they're not chosen to be one on the team? They will meet a multitude of situations where mum and dad are not there to direct. The situation won't be too far from this even for families that homeschool. Why? Because as children move out of the toddler and preschool years into the primary years, they are less and less under your feet. And I know that our parents here don't mind their children being under their feet, but the fact is they'll be less under our feet and more doing things for themselves, playing with siblings, perhaps as they get older, playing with children down the street and so on. You are not always there to direct them. Therefore, parents, we need to realize that the goal of parenting in the primary years is going to be very different to the goal of parenting in the toddler years. Well, what are the issues for primary children? Where should parenting be heading, and what should it look like? The Word of God is, of course, rich in everything that pertains to life and godliness, and certainly answers the real needs of the primary, the childhood years. So I would summarize the objective of the toddler years, the preschool years, as being teaching the child that they are a person under authority. And I would summarize the objective for the primary years as teaching the child they are a person who is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. They are to be Christ-like. To reach that objective, there are three areas of concern for every parent. Today, we'll do the first one. Next week, we'll do the second two. We're just looking at the first area of concern for parents, that they might produce children that are Christ-like. So the first area of concern for the parent of the primary age child is relationships. This is probably the big one. That's probably the most important one. The area of relationships. Now, if you've already begun to deal with relationships in the toddler years, every time there was a world war in your home between the children, you've been helping them understand about relationships. But now in the primary years, the issue of relationships is a priority. The single most important scripture to guide you as parents as you think about relationships with your children, the relationships of your children, is Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. So you also, chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus said, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Those are the two great commandments that only guide us as a church, but that will guide you as parents. Clearly, you want your child to come out of the primary years loving God and loving others. To do that, they will also need a healthy self-concept. Now, I don't subscribe at all to the self-esteem of the world, but every child needs a healthy, biblical self-concept. That is a major part of parenting in the primary age children, and we're going to look at the scriptures in just a few moments. So then, in terms of relationships, there needs to be, first of all, a biblical knowledge of self, a biblical knowledge of God, and a biblical knowledge of others. That is, primary children need to increasingly understand themselves, God, and others from a biblical perspective. The proof of the pudding will be as if they is in their love for God and their love for other people. That's where the parent of the primary age child is going. So let's break it down into the three prongs of self, God, and others. Firstly, self. Self. What does the Bible teach the primary age child about himself? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about us as men and women, doesn't it? But there are concepts that we really want our primary age children to leave those primary years with. The first concept is, I am made by God and for God. I am made by God and for God, for God's glory. Now, the scriptures that you will have in the back of your mind, and remember, this is a toolkit today, so I'm just going to be, I need to do some lists just to get through this. The scriptures that you need to bear in mind as you seek to bring your children to that understanding are Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have to present God as creator to our children. If God is not creator, he is not God at all. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we need to be teaching our children that they are made in the image of God and they are to become like God. They are to be like God morally and in their character. Romans 11 and verse 36, "For of him and through him," God is the originator of all. He is the creator, as we've said, "of him and through him and to him are all things." Things are to come back to him. We are to be like him. We are to serve him. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, and whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." We are seeking that our child understand, I am made by God and for God, to God's glory. The second concept that we want our primary age child to have as they leave the primary years is, I am a sinner who deserves God's punishment. Now, of course, there's many scriptures in regard to this, but the kind of scriptures that you should have in mind as you're teaching your children this way are the Ten Commandments. to go through those Ten Commandments with your children and show them that they are indeed a sinner. And then verses like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A third concept that you want the primary children to have as they leave their primary years is Jesus the Lord is my Savior from sin. Jesus the Lord is my Savior from sin. Scriptures, and I hope you know many of these, but the kind of scriptures that we can be using and having in our minds are John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Or Romans 10:13, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Or perhaps I better read it. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Though God is creator, we're seeking to teach them. We have all wandered from God. God has the right, because he is the creator, to tell us how to live. We've all rebelled against that. We don't want God telling us how to live. And therefore we are sinners before God. But the Lord Jesus Christ has died in our place. And if we put our trust in him, God will count it as if we've never sinned. Now, I know you know this, parents, but this is what's in the back of our minds as we're seeking to teach our children. A fourth concept that we would like our children to have as they leave the childhood years in regard to themselves is God has a special plan for me. God has a special plan for me. Every child should know that they're loved by God and that God wants to work in their lives in such a way that he is able to use them, that God has a special plan for them. So they should have this concept that they're loved by God and they ought to be serving God. So these scriptures would be a help to you to have in your mind. Jeremiah 29 in verse 11, talking about God's plans for us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And because God has this plan, we ought to serve him, Romans 12 and verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's a joy to serve God, and we want our children to get that concept as they leave the childhood years. Concept number five for them to take on board is God has made me good at some things and not so good at others. We should be watching and helping our children to know the things that they are good at. God has made me good at some things and not in others. So we want to teach them the parable of the talents. God has apportioned every person on planet Earth some talents, and we need to discover what those are. Matthew 25 and verse 15 is the scripture. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability. So God has made those children, God has made me good at something, and I need to take that something and place it at the Savior's feet and serve him. We want our children to be using what God has given for him. Concept number six, God can help me if I struggle with anything. God can help me if I struggle. We need to know this ourselves as parents, of course, and the scriptures are 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, as except such is common to man. So this is if we're struggling with sin in some area. Maybe our child is constantly taking things. Well, we need to teach them this scripture and help them to overcome. No temptation has overtaken you, except such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Or maybe they're struggling with something else in their lives. Maybe they're being teased by an older brother or sister. And they need to know Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to react. God can help me. And Psalm 46 and verse 1, we'll come back to this verse. Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So if I'm struggling with something, God is able to help me. The child needs to know that they can turn to God. Concept number 7 for us to get across to the primary age child about themselves. I should seek to please God in what I do. So often we seek to please each other. There's peer pressure and there's the fear of man. But I should seek to please God in what I do. Even as parents, we may struggle with seeking approval from others. But Colossians 3 and verse 22 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So we seek to please God. Our eyes are on Him and we want our children to do this. So that is a brief summary of what the Bible says, the concepts that are needed in regard to self, this self concept that the child needs to have as they leave the primary years. Of course, these truths only grow in a child's life as the Spirit of God and the Word of God enters their lives as taught by godly parents. To know what teaching needs to be emphasized to our own particular child. Now, all those 7 will be needed, but each child may need an emphasis in one of those and not so much the others. So we need to be observing and assessing our children. For example, Jenny has a tender little heart. She notices what others are feeling. When she's playing a game with someone, she's probably going to let someone else win just so that their feelings aren't hurt. Well, Jenny needs to know that that's a beautiful gift from God to be able to empathize and relate to other people like that. But there's going to be also dangers for Jenny. She needs to understand that she's a sinner and that other people are sinners and other people might take advantage of her tender heart, that she is to do right and to please God no matter what other people are thinking or saying that she should do. So then we encourage our children in our strengths and we teach into their weaknesses. Or Harold does everything for approval. In a reading group, he doesn't just read, he reads to be noticed. When he lines up for class at school, he's jostling so that someone will notice him. Harold would have to be taught that seeking approval from men, from his peers, is a trap, that he needs to set his heart to please God. You'd want to teach to him Colossians 3 and verse 22, so that he fears God and doesn't seek the approval of others. Well, that's 2 examples. But how do we assess our own children to see where they are at in regards to these biblical concepts of self? How does he think of himself? Does he understand his own personality? How does he understand himself? Okay, is he aware of his own strengths and weaknesses? And that means, parents, we're going to need to be aware of their strengths and weaknesses so we can help them to know. Is he chained by fear? Does he feel superior to the other kids or inferior? Does he depend on approval? Is he arrogant or humble? Is he selfish, always having to have that toy for himself, or is he selfless, giving to others? Can he enjoy others? Or on the other hand, can he work by himself? If you give him something to do, is he able to carry something through? Knowing your child will help you to bring the appropriate scriptures. Please use the scriptures, the examples that I've given today, as a checklist to move through and understand your child. We want to move them in the direction of Christ's likeness. Second, what is his understanding of God and relationship to God? First self, second God. And what we're wanting to see come out the other end is a love for God. That's the bottom line. He needs to leave those, obviously before then, but leave those primary years loving God. In assessing our child's relationship with an understanding God, we're not seeking answers to know if they know about God, have a Bible encyclopedic knowledge of God. We want to see how our children relate to God. So the primary question is not if they've said a sinner's prayer or not, but are they demonstrating a love for God in their daily life? We want our child to have a heart for God, not to be a biblical encyclopedia. Nevertheless, a relationship with God depends on knowledge from this book, and there's certain things that we do need to understand about God to build that love relationship with Him. So, we need to keep some verses in mind. Firstly, verses to keep in mind on loving God would be verses like Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Or Psalm 42 and verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for You, O God. So we want our children to have a longing for God. On loving God, the primary verse, as we've noted already, on loving God is Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. I think that's saying the child ought to really love God. So we want our child to leave those primary years with a longing for God and a love for God. Number three, on God as our strength and help. Psalm 46 and verse 1, and if you go back up the page for that verse, Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we want our children to see that God is a strength and a help to Him, to them, so that when they have a problem, they will go to God in prayer. They will ask mum and dad about what the Bible says in regard to that situation. On God as our comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. So we want our children to understand that they can go to God for comfort. He cares about them and He loves them. On responsiveness to God, James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. When the word of God is read, when the word of God is spoken, when God speaks to the child, we want them to respond, to be doers and not just hearers only. So we want this responsiveness to God. On spiritual awareness, Colossians 3 and verse 2 says, set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. We're wanting our child to develop this consciousness of God. Yes, he sees things round about him, but he is also conscious that there is a spiritual realm from which God rules in the kingdom of men. On idolatry, Luke chapter 16 and verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he would be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you cannot have an idol in our heart, let alone the child's heart. We cannot have an idol and say that we're loving God. You can't do both. So we want to be aware of idols in our children's lives. We want our children without idolatry. On God's glory and majesty, that verse that I read at the opening of the service today, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Beautiful verse. Be wonderful to memorize that verse as a family. But we want our children to see God's glory and majesty, don't we? That they're attracted to Him. And number nine, in regard to both the grace and justice of God, we have Exodus 34 and verse 6, the grace and justice of God. Firstly, the grace of God, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness of truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And here's the justice. by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So we want our children to understand that God is not just a Santa Claus on the one hand, but nor is he a condemning judge on the other. They need to see a God of grace, a God of grace and justice. All these verses could be corrective in our children's lives depending on their concepts of God, depending on their responses to God. Take little John, for example. John's dad is away a lot. John is an only child. And so John spends a lot of time playing on his iPad. He's been taught about God, but he sees God as a Santa Claus. And this iPad has become an idol in his life. So from that short description, we can see that, number one, John has a misunderstanding of God. He thinks of God as a Santa Claus. Number two, he does not know or love God. Why? Because he has an idol. And number three, there is this issue of idolatry. So just from that brief description, we can see some things that need to be taught into from this list that I've given you to be taught into John's life. We need to be able to correctly assess our child's relationship with God. And we need to be able to do this if they're ever to exit the primary years having become Christ-like. So here's some questions to help you correctly assess your child's relationship to God. Is your child living in a conscious need for God? Is loving God and knowing God an important part of that child's life? By the way, I meant to say this at the beginning. If you don't have children, or you're past that stage, please be using all these questions to assess your own heart. It's not just for children. All these questions are great. Do we have these? Is there something of our self-concept that needs to be corrected? Is there something of our understanding or love for God that we need to be put right? So does this child talk about God? And if he talks about God, what does he say about God? Do spiritual realities seem to matter to your child? There seems to be this sense and awareness of something other than the physical. Do they make choices that reflect knowing God? Are God's ways and truth important to your child? Is God grand or small in your child's eyes? Is God a friend like that Santa Claus of John, or is he a judge as far as your child is concerned? Is God a source of strength and comfort to them? Does your child have idols? And here's some questions to help you assess if they have idols or not. What are the things they must have to be happy? If it's something other than God, it's an idol. We might ask ourselves that question. What motivates your child? What motivates us? Finish this sentence. What I really want is, or what my child really wants is, if it's something apart from God, it's an idol. Now, if you consistently instruct your children, have a regular family devotion, you're going through the Word of God together, all these concepts about self and about God are probably going to come across in your regular teaching. But these questions are a way to assess if you or your child are missing anything. If you model godliness, if you model a love for God and a passion for God, and if you're in your Word together as a family, you'll only need to use these questions as checklists to see if there's something out of order. Men, could I speak to you right now? If you're parenting primary children, would you go home with your wife and sit down? And by the way, there's a checklist on the back of the bulletin. I don't know whether you've turned that far, but there's some of the questions that I've been asking on the back of the bulletin. Would you sit down at home with your wife and go through your children one by one and ask these questions and write down the child's strengths and weaknesses. Put three columns, if you like, for each child. Self, God, others. And go through these and see if there's anything that you need to be paying attention to. Like I said, this is a toolkit today. It's like a stethoscope to listen to your child's heart spiritually. Number three, what is his or her relationship to others? Does he love others? That's what we want to see coming out of the childhood years, their love for others. So let's review for a second. We are, in the toddler years, seeking to have a child that understands that he is a person under authority. In the childhood years, we're seeking to have the child see that they are a person who needs to be Christ-like. So, to be Christ-like, they need a biblical understanding of themselves, a love for God, and a love for others. As we as parents are seeking to develop that love for others in our children, the primary verse is going to be Mark chapter 12 and verse 31. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 to 8 fills out that verse on love for us. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Says, love suffers long, love's patient, and is kind, does tender, gentle things for others. Love does not envy what a brother or sister has, for example. Love does not parade itself, not showing off, is not puffed up, it's not proud, and therefore it doesn't seek to control others. Verse 5. Does not behave rudely. Love is courteous. Love, that's the reason for all those niceties in the home where we might wait for till everyone is served before we eat, or we say please and thank you. Love is courteous. That's the reason. That's the biblical reason for all that stuff. Love does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. In other words, is unselfish, is not provoked, thinks no evil. In other words, because love is unselfish, it's going to share. And James has some comments on that, on sharing. James chapter 4 and verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. So there is the human tendency to want for self. Love does not do that. Love wants for others. The love chapter continues in verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And what if the child has been hurt, say by a sibling? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So there is an enduring. There is a bearing by love. And we teach our children these things. Children can learn this. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 fills that out. This is how we might react. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And that's how our child's likely to react. But we want to teach them, verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And of course, there are many other verses on relationships in the New Testament alone, let alone the whole Bible. Verses on confession and forgiveness, on peacemaking and restoring relationships. All these are aspects of love in relationships, and we need that in our homes. Caleb is playing cars, and his little sister toddles along and takes one of them, and World War III breaks out. You know what I'm talking about. This is an opportunity for Caleb to learn to share his toys with his little sister, and it's an opportunity for his little sister to learn that she just can't take, just can't come and take one of the toys that her brother's playing with. You see, both are in that situation are manifesting selfishness. Both need to learn love, and we need to go to these verses and teach our children about love. Or what about Julie? Julie was born bossy. She was born CEO. She tells the girls at school how they should wear their hair the next day. At playtime, she decides what games they're going to play and then decides who's going to be in the teams. Julie, of course, could be told not to be so bossy, and she might be able to change her behavior, but that has not changed her heart. This was a Christian school, and the teacher talked to the parents, and they decided to work together to help Julie to understand that controlling others is proud and is certainly not a loving thing to do. They taught Julie to pray and to ask God's help if she felt like controlling others. So this saved Julie from a lifetime of unloving behavior. So when it comes to your child or children, what questions will help you assess where they're at in terms of their relationship with others? Firstly, how does your child relate to others? What does that child bring out in others? Is your child controlling or are they easily controlled? There's dangers in both those that need to be dealt with. Is he pleasant? How does he deal with hurt when he has been hurt by someone? What are the positives in his relationship with others? What are his negatives in her relationship with others? Does he or she always want to talk about themselves? Do they harbor bitterness or forgive? The goal for us parents as we bring our child through the primary years is to have a child at the end of those years with a humble, contrite heart, loving God and loving others. Loving God and loving others is being Christ-like in terms of relationship. And next week, Lord willing, we'll look at a couple of other areas where parents need to help their children to be Christ-like. As we close, I'd like you to hear the testimonies of 2-3 young people whose parents helped them to become Christ-like, whose parents helped them in terms of relationships in the family. Titus, 16 years, says, "My mum and dad taught me to serve other people and to find joy in serving them. There is a satisfaction derived from knowing that I did something from someone else. And yes, I even did my sister's chores when she had exams and couldn't do them. Learning to appreciate service to others is a gift," he says, "from my parents that will follow me the rest of my life." Christopher, 20 years, writes, "My parents instilled within my heart the principle of putting others first. This is hands-on that teaches me life is not about me. Putting myself first can lead to grief, but putting others first is the essence of servanthood and a joy-filled life. And it helps me," he says, "to draw close to Christ because Jesus Christ was a servant too." Ashley, 13 years, says, "Looking at my friends and the relationships that they have with their parents, I'm grateful that my mum and dad applied godly principles in our home. Relationships are the main priority in our family. I know I can share my thoughts with mum and dad and they will give me wise counsel." She says, "We share a mutual trust in each other, and that's a wonderful place to be as a teen. But of course, I do recognize their authority over me." Dear parents, may I ask, where are you in your own spiritual walk? Do you see it as absolutely urgent that you become Christ-like in everything? Because you cannot lead your children to a place beyond where you are. Please use this inventory of questions to assess your own relationship with God and others. Get it right, and then you'll know how to lead your children in godliness. If you want to raise children that are Christ-like and delight your heart as teens, you need to pursue godliness with all of your heart, all of your energy, desiring to be like Him. Do it with all passion, won't you? Amen. Amen. Will you recommit yourself this morning to do exactly that? Lord, help me to be as godly as I can be. I want my children to go on for you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have an awesome task, and apart from your word and your Holy Spirit, we would despair of ever accomplishing it. Thank you, Lord, that there is your word and your spirit, and if we'll only decide this morning, oh Lord, I must get things right. I must get things right with all urgency. Then you will be there working through us, using us as channels for the love of God to our own children. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for family after family, husband after husband, dad after dad to be saying in their hearts, yes, I must get this right. I must lead my family aright. I must lead them in all godliness. Oh Lord, do a special work amongst our men today for your glory, amongst our wives, our mothers, for your glory, Lord, amongst our children, for the children are the future of Christianity on earth, the future of this local church also. Oh, glory to your name, dear Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.